one, do you believe in doll's curses? I didn't. Until that time. This happened when I was in the fifth grade. It was the summer holidays, and rather than going outside, I was just reading manga in my room. Midday was nice and warm, so drowsiness snuck up on me, and I fell asleep. I'm a dreamer, so as usual, I had a dream. Even though it was a dream, I remember everything that happened exactly. In the dream, I was standing at the top of the stairs on the second floor. In my hand, I was holding a Korean doll with a rattling neck. Suddenly, I threw it from the second floor window, and it broke. When I saw the doll, I shuddered. The doll I'd thrown was the one my parents had bought me when I was in the third grade. I'd broken that doll's head by smashing it in with a rock. My parents ended up throwing it away. Suddenly the dream changed, and a woman covered in blood was looking at me. I was so scared I woke up, but when I did, I couldn't move my arms or legs, and I couldn't scream either. I had sleep paralysis. I got more and more scared, and with all my might I tried to move, but I couldn't. Then, suddenly, the doll I'd thrown from the second floor window was coming up the stairs, step by step. The reason I knew this was because it was a continuation of my dream. When the doll reached the second floor, it slowly rattled towards my room. I could feel it getting closer. I was terrified and kept saying over and over in my head, "Don't come! Don't come!" Suddenly, I felt it disappear, and I could move again. I rushed downstairs to my family. They say a doll maker puts part of their soul into each doll they make. I think the spirit of the doll I broke while playing with it turned into a grudge and attacked me in my dreams. Now, whenever I see a doll, I shudder and think it's going to attack me. I don't know when I'll be attacked next. If you buy a doll, make sure you look after it very carefully. Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Koobana, true Japanese scary stories from around the internet. This week is a creepy dolls special, but before we get started, I have a quick announcement. As some of you may know, I don't only translate Japanese horror, but I also write my own. My first anthology of horror stories, called Midnight Shadows, is out on Amazon today, so please feel free to check it out if you're looking for something new to read over the weekend. You can go to koobana.net or my personal website at taraadevlin.com for more details. So, our first story for this week is about a young girl who goes to visit her father's family home for the Obon holidays. The room she's staying in houses a rather large doll, and as the years go on, she begins to notice more and more strange things about it. Until one day... Find out what happens in Japanese Doll with an Interesting History. For some reason lately, I've been remembering this strange experience I had when I was a child. Ever since I could remember, until I was a junior high school student, every Obon we went to visit my father's family home and would stay for 2 or 3 nights. His family home was in the countryside of Yamanashi, where they ran their own business separate from the family home. We would sleep in another room, but in that room there was a glass rectangular case with a Japanese doll in it. It had short hair and wore a red kimono, and was about 50 to 80 centimeters tall. As a child, it seemed really big to me. Even though it hadn't been there before that, this particular year it was just suddenly there. I remember looking at it and quickly telling my parents that I thought it was creepy. Its mouth was slightly open and it had little teeth. Had they been there since the start? I couldn't tell whether it was laughing or angry. I don't really know how to describe its expression. I think my parents were also creeped out by it, but they never said anything. The next day, as I was lazing about by myself, I felt this really strong gaze from behind me. When I turned around, the doll was there. It was creepy, so I turned the glass case around 90 degrees, so it faced sideways, and went back to lazing about. Not long later, I fell asleep and had a dream. In the dream, I'd become an adult. With my adult legs and standpoint, an endless, unbroken road stood before me. Either side of the road was just hills. Even though there were no street lights or anything, the road was lit up. People wearing tattered rags like farmers from the Edo period were walking along it. Against my own will, my feet got tangled up, and I fell off the road into the dark hills. I stopped in an area full of patchy grass and weeds. I couldn't move a muscle. I thought I was dead. Suddenly, I heard a Buddhist prayer. Someone on the road above was saying a prayer for me. I was so happy. I didn't want to die alone. Just as I thought that, my viewpoint changed to the person looking down on the dead body. It was a stranger. Their hair was thinning, mouth open, eyes upturned. They were most certainly dead. Then I woke up. I was covered in sweat. What a strange dream, I thought. When I rolled over, the doll was looking right at me. It looked like it was smiling. The glass case was still in the same spot. I didn't want to touch it, so I left it like that. The next year, the doll was in the guest house again. Its hair had grown. Its hair reached its shoulders now. Apparently, it was normal for a doll's hair to grow, but to me, it was just creepy. I remember my parents being like, "Oh, wow, its hair is growing." I asked my aunt about it. "Just what is that doll?" Her reply was, "Ah, that. It hasn't done anything bad, has it?" I stopped asking questions right there. I just said, "No, it's fine." That night, the entire family ate watermelon and set off fireworks. While we were playing with the fireworks, another aunt, who usually lived by herself and only returned for Obon, idly said, "A-san is behind you. How nice of him to come." My aunt and father's faces froze. "Well, it is Obon," my father said cheerfully, and everyone laughed. Afterwards, I learned that A-san was my great-grandfather. Apparently, during his time, the family was very well off, but he was a prolific philanderer who spent little time with his own family. And unable to bear it anymore, my great-grandmother and her son, my grandfather, ran off in the night and broke off all ties with him. After that, my great-grandfather went on to spend his money like water and in the end died alone. The person I saw in the photo, that was supposedly A-san, was the dead person I'd seen in my dream. The next year, the doll was gone. I couldn't feel its strange gaze anymore, and the fear began to fade. So, once more, I asked my aunt about it. Where did that doll go? It did something bad, so we took it to the shrine. I didn't find any of this strange. What did it do? It was in a case, right? It would get out and walk about freely at night. Well, if it was just that, that'd be fine, really. But in the middle of the night, it tripped up your cousin and badly hurt his ankle. In short, when morning came, they kept finding the doll in places other than its glass case. They kept putting it back, but had no clue what was going on. Despite the fact the glass case was locked, the lock was cleanly broken off. While they were wondering about what was going on, that's when my cousin accidentally saw it. He was a high school student at the time. He woke up during the night and went to the toilet. He heard a small noise in the hallway. When he flushed the toilet and stepped outside, he suddenly felt a tug on his pants and fell forward. When he went to look at what his pants were caught on, he saw the doll's hand stretched out and holding onto the cuff of his pants. According to my cousin, he even heard the doll laugh. It wasn't a girl's voice. It was deep, but like something between male and female. He got so scared that he passed out. My aunt woke up in the morning and found my cousin with the doll lying on his ankle and his leg in pain. That was just no good, so they took the doll to a shrine and left it there for safekeeping. They should have done so sooner, but the doll was important to my aunt, so she felt bad about doing so. I had another question. Where did she buy the doll? She said she didn't. It was a gift. Where from? Her friend. That friend had passed away. Which is to say that until the friend died, they had looked after the doll, and it was their wish that she take it as a memento. That friend made the kimono for the doll. Why? My aunt didn't know. But the doll originally wasn't her friend's either. That friend also received it from somewhere else and was asked to make the kimono for it. Who did they receive it from? Where was it sold? She didn't know anything else about it. It was quite a scary story to the child I was at the time. Our last story for this week features a university student who turns to tutoring part-time to make a little extra money. When he arrives at his first job, however, he soon realizes this isn't any old teaching job. Find out why in The Mysterious Ken and the Secret on the Second Floor. At the time, I was a first grade university student and living alone, so I didn't have much money. I worked part-time jobs at family restaurants and convenience stores, but I noticed that home teachers got paid a lot better. But registering to be a home teacher on the web is a bit of a hassle, isn't it? So I got permission from the neighborhood and started handing out flyers. I'm pretty sure I had on there that I could teach junior high school students English and Japanese. 1 hour was 3,000 yen, and it had my contact details. Then, a few days later, I got a phone call, It sounded like a middle-aged lady. "I saw your flyer. Would you be able to come over?" she said. When I asked her about it, she said she was looking for someone to teach her son. She wanted me to come every day and teach him for 4 hours. I was like, "Are you for real? That's 12,000 yen a day. Awesome." I should have thought it was a little strange she wanted me to be there for 4 hours a day, every day. She wanted me to come over the very next day, so I went over. It was in the evening, around 5 p.m, I think, for 4 hours, so I ate dinner early and went over. When I arrived at the address, a tiny old house was sitting there. It was also that time of day, so it gave off a bit of a creepy atmosphere. Well, it's work, I thought, and timidly rang the doorbell. When I did, I heard the voice of that same middle-aged lady from the phone, and felt a bit relieved. When the door opened and I saw her, I was at a loss for words. Her head was full of dandruff. She had dark bags around her eyes. Her grin was horrifying. Instantly, I wanted to go back home, but in the end, money won out. "Please, come in." "Thank you," I said, and stepped inside. I think my voice was shaking. I asked her where her son was, and she was like, "This way," and led me into a further room. To be honest, I was absolutely terrified. I don't know how to explain exactly, but the atmosphere the house gave off was really scary. Reluctantly, I followed her further inside, and we ended up in what looked like a child's room. There was a chest of drawers, a TV, a bed, stuffed toys, toy robots, a study desk. There looked to be a child sitting at the study desk in the back, but when I walked over to it, I suddenly realized. "Hello," I said as I approached, but upon closer inspection, it was a doll. Not just any doll, it appeared to be handmade. It was about the size of a real child, and even wearing regular clothes. Its face was awful. There were just 3 dots made of cloth. In Mario, there are those characters called Shy Guys, right? It looked just like those.
"That's my son."
I turned white. This place was dangerous. Really dangerous.
That's a doll, right?" I accidentally spit out. That was the wrong thing to say.
"Huh? What are you saying? That's my son, Ken-kun."
She suddenly screamed out in a loud voice and began to cry. Oh, this was really bad. She's probably gonna kill me. I don't want to die. I need to end this peacefully somehow and get back home. "Oh, yeah, I know, I said. "Ken-kun, let's study." When I said this, the old lady started to smile again and returned to normal. Of course, Ken-kun didn't answer. Why would he? He was a doll after all. Rather than calling it study, I just turned towards the doll and began talking to it. Having to do this for another 4 hours would be hell. Even taking a break for 10 minutes was still painful. "So the be verb is here, and it becomes this. This is the conjunctive form, so it's like..." I went on like this alone for 4 hours. The old lady watched from behind the whole time, grinning.
It was really creepy. But somehow I managed to pass the 4 hours. Okay, well, let's finish it there, I said to Ken-kun. There was no reply. Of course not. It was a doll.
Well done. Thank you very much.
While thinking about how creepy her grinning face was, I got ready to go home.
It's already late, so why don't you stay and eat first?
No, I ate before I came, so I'm all right, I told her. Besides, any food that came out of this creepy house was bound to be awful.
Please eat!
She screamed again. It was so scary. She was mad. But I thought she would kill me, so I reluctantly accepted. She took me to what looked like the dining room, and I sat down in a chair. She took out a knife and started preparing dinner. When she took the knife out, my heart began to race. I broke out in a cold sweat. She took out a dirty old pan and began to boil something. It smelled like curry. Ah, curry. I'm glad it's something normal, I thought from the bottom of my heart.
Okay, here you are.
She put curry onto a dirty plate for me. The spoon was also the type you get free from the convenience store that she was using again. Thank you, I said, and timidly began to eat. It was just regular curry. Not awful. Not great.
Tastes good, I hope.
Yes, it's great, I said in a really loud voice. I was so scared I may have replied a little too enthusiastically.
I'm glad. Why don't you stay the night?
I had no idea what was going on anymore. No, really, that's okay, I answered.
Ken-kun would be so happy. Please, stay.
No, it's okay, I said again.
Please stay! You'll make Ken-kun sad!
I was scared. But staying overnight in this house was even scarier. The thought of being killed was even scarier than that. I had no choice. I decided to stay. I'd pretend that I was staying, and when the opportunity presented itself, however, I'd run. It was decided I'd stay with Ken-kun in his room. Having to sleep in the same room as this creepy doll was most unpleasant. She put out a futon for me in his room.
Isn't it great? You get to sleep with your teacher tonight.
I was so scared.
The toilet is next to the dining room, so don't go upstairs, okay?
First, I'd wait for the old lady to go to sleep, so I waited patiently in Ken-kun's room. I lamented that I'd forgotten my phone. If I had that, I could call for help. She'd fall asleep once it got late, so I waited some more. It was around 10:30 p.m. I had nothing to do, so I just lay there in the futon. Before I realized it, it was 1 a.m. Looked like I'd fallen asleep. The old lady has to be asleep by now. So I got ready to make my escape. I grabbed my bag and began to tiptoe to the door. One step. Another step. Only my heartbeat made any sound.
What are you doing?
Uh-oh, that's it, I thought. I'm dead. When I looked over, the old lady was sitting behind the dining room door, grinning at me. No way. She's been sitting there watching me all this time? All the blood drained from my body.
You weren't trying to go home now, were you?
I panicked. I screamed and ran towards the back of the house. There was no window a person could escape from in Ken-kun's room, so I ran up the stairs as fast as I could. I saw a door in front of me. I opened it. It was pitch black. I looked for the light switch and turned the lights on. Everything in the room lit up. The room was full of nothing but stuffed toys and dolls. It was terrifying. I was brought to a standstill when suddenly, I could hear a voice screaming from the back of the room. I looked over and saw something that looked like a person, with a really huge head and eyes that looked like they were about to pop out. Our eyes met. It was terrifying. I wet myself. It was so disgusting. In a panic, I opened the second floor window and jumped out. I didn't feel any pain. My fear won out over that. I ran all the way home. That night, I couldn't sleep, and my foot was in so much pain that the next day I went to the hospital, and they found out I'd broken my left ankle. Afterwards, I moved away and didn't go there again. I didn't want to go there again. I wonder what it was I saw in that room.
So I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. If there are any other themes or stories you'd like to see in future episodes, you can let me know at koabana.net/podcast. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please consider leaving a review for it on iTunes. It's super easy, and you can find the link for it at koabana.net/podcast. Thanks, guys, and we'll see you again next week for even more Koabana, true Japanese scary stories from around the internet.
Want even more scary stories? Head over to koabana.net for new translations every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday and Sunday. You can also join our Patreon for exclusive stories you won't find anywhere else. Head over to koabana.net now.